Good morning. Good looking group today. All the handsome people came out. Amen. First announcement's not in the bulletin. New members in choirs class means that it could mean you definitely want to join the church. It might mean that you're just thinking about joining the church and you want to talk about it. Will be next Sunday following the worship service. It'll be about an hour or so. If someone brought you to church and you don't have a ride home, I can take you home. My car will hold about five people, so don't worry about that. So if you'd like to be a part of this church, and like to be a part of this class, let me know. I've got some pamphlets to hand out to you if you've not received the pamphlets as of yet. So again, I'll say it's a new member in choirs class. It doesn't mean if you come to this class that you are definitely going to be joining. It might just mean that you want to find out more about the class. So if you can be here next Sunday and say about an hour after church, that would be good. It may be a little more than an hour, but we'll talk about the church and responsibilities and some history of the church and questions that you might want to ask, some personal questions, get to know each other a little better, and maybe some theological questions that you have to ask. And the pamphlets will certainly help you answer some of those. Go through the cards that I was given, and I went out last night and bought some more 5x7 cards and placed on the tables that you can write your announcements on. The food bank needs crackers, boxed meals, pasta, sauces, canned fruit, and always in need of toiletries and dish soaps. So you can bring those in and put them on the table in the back. It's not too late to sign up for Dominic's Blood and Food Drive. This is a part of his Eagle Scout project, so please come down here next Sunday. Enjoy a bowl of soup and salad with us. Also, Lynn Love and Darlene Wagner, it's time if you can get those receipts in for audits. And thank you very much for getting those in. Kind of a personal note, but it's really a whole church note. If someone in your family or friend or someone from our church body is in the hospital, I would very much appreciate a phone call to know. Sometimes they're in the hospital and out, and I don't find out about it till later. I'd like to be able to know so I can go visit. Now, if you don't want me to know, that's okay. Sometimes it's personal. You really don't want to visit. That's fine. But if you want to visit, please let me know. I'll tell you a quick little story. When I was a pastor in Grayville, Illinois, as a student, and I had to travel because I was going to Louisville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, I'd go up in Grayville on the weekends and preach and come back to seminary during the week. Drive back up on the weekends to pastor there. Did that for 2 years. One woman was in the hospital after I left during the weekend. Then when I came back next weekend, she said, "You didn't visit me in the hospital." I said, "Well, I didn't know you were in the hospital." She said, "Well, you're the pastor. You're just supposed to know." That just drove me nuts. I thought, I'm not that good. I would like to be. You know, sometimes God does talk to me, but sometimes I don't listen. But if I had to help, it would be a lot better. Or sometimes I get a call the day they're getting out, and that's very hard. Or if they go in on Monday, I get it Friday night, believe it or not. So I would like to know when they go in. It would be very, very helpful and give me more time. So thank you very much for that. And again, get those tax audits in to Darlene Wagner. Darlene, she's over here in the corner. If everybody doesn't know her, get those into her. Our love, Lynn, love Lynn. Lynn Love. Yeah, we all love her. And this is kind of announcement prayer also for Andy Miller. Andy, just kind of raise your hand here. I think most of us are getting to know him with Suzanne. For the loss of his aunt, Jean Boyle, passed away after a long fight with Alzheimer's, viewing today only in Imperial. And so we will certainly be in prayer for that. That's a horrible, horrible disease. Also, this is not in, but I've got had a couple people after church last week talk to me. I got an email asking if we could not have our greeting during the church. I polled the session, didn't get a real consensus on this. So what I decided to do is just make a little announcement about it. If you're uncomfortable during this horrendous flu season and do not want to be hugged or to shake hands right now, just kind of say, well, not right now, let's wait till the flu season is over. Or if you want to do what a lot of people do, hand bump, you know, fist bump. That'd be cool too. Do something different. Maybe we'll start a fist bumping church. Some of you like to hit anyway, so. And I went out last night and I purchased 3 bottles of hand sanitizer, one on this table here, one on the table with right over here, and then one on the back table, so it gives you enough places, maybe if you do shake hands and you feel uncomfortable, that you can clean your hands. 2 restrooms through here if you feel comfortable, and if it takes a little time for you to get back to your seat when we're doing something else, that is fine. We want you to be healthy and feel comfortable. At this time, if you take your red pad, sign it, pass it down. If you change the phone number or anything, we would like to have that address. And remind you that the nursery is open every Sunday, and the junior church is taking place also, except for the last Sunday. Women's Association will have a brief meeting Sunday, February the 3rd. If you're interested in joining the choir for the Easter spring season, please see Mickey before January the 30th. You can see her after church today, right after service. A good time to grab her. And you see the announcements about the prayer cards. I thought it worked very well. If you'd like to give me some feedback, or an elder, or some feedback, I was able to take them home last week. Monday morning I got up, pulled them out, read them all, see if anyone needed a phone call. I took those and I prayed for those people. First time I've ever been able to do anything like that. And that was very, very nice. It worked well for me, but I also want to know if it's working well for you. I think that's it. A little longer today, but it's very important. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise today, number 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father,
we acknowledge you because you first loved us. We praise you for bringing us into your family through Jesus Christ. Forgive us when we fail to spend time with you in prayer, study, and worship. Remind us that this life was hard on Jesus. Why do we expect life to be easy for us? Help us to remember that you are always with us. You have promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. May we grow stronger in our faith as we grow closer to you. Teach us to love positive in our outlook on life. Help us to find something to rejoice about every day. In Jesus' name.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift.
Let us join together this morning as part of the body of Christ worldwide here at Glenshaw Valley as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's greet one another, and if you don't know someone's name, be sure to ask them.
Thank you.
Responsive reading, Psalm 118, number 712 in the back of your hymnals. 712, Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Your turn. Shouts of joy and victory resounded in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Amen. At this time, I'll call Jim Eichner up for to read the prayer request and thanksgiving. And while he's coming, I just want to thank everyone that came out for the luncheon Thursday and made pies and everything that you did. What a wonderful thing. And thank you very, very much for your hard work.
Good morning. If this comes off a little loud, it is because I was told I was not close enough to the microphone, and the recording, which we have for shut-ins and other people, was not being picked up. We have a lot of prayer requests this morning. As Leonard mentioned, we'd like to pray for Andy and Suzanne. Andy's aunt has recently passed, and Leonard has the times in the funeral home, anyone interested in attending. And I believe that's only for today. And the rest of these are from Kathy Segi. Again, if you do not wish to have your name read, we had someone say, we want to know who is the prayer requester for, so that's why we are now reading the name. These are in a change of state of change. Anything you would like to be changed, let one of the session members know, and we're just trying to get them so everybody's comfortable with them. Kathy would like us to pray for her brother, Al Swedko. He was laid off and would like to get back to work. For Jancy Daly, those of you who don't know, she's Isabel Mellinger's daughter, and she's healing from knee surgery. For Chris Giel, a cousin, for healthy healing from flu and some apparently bad labs and enlarged lymph nodes, and she's trying to quit smoking. And if you who have tried that, it is not easy. And she is currently in St. Margaret's. For Linda and Brandon, her sister and nephew, they have health and financial issues, and they just praying for the Lord to help them find some answers. For Rebecca and Kathy, Kathy's daughter, she has a headache from a concussion and it is not improving. I'd like to pray to the Lord that he will cure the headache. And for Kathy, she has a bad flare-up of her arthritis and having low back pain. And we have a praise request for Kathy's mom. She was having some trouble, as I'm sure most of us have in the past, with the insurance paying copays. And they finally approved it, so the copays will be approved for her. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. In Presbyterian tradition, we lead you into the Lord's Prayer, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, as we do every Sunday, and we take time in our worship service to pray to you, because that is a part of worship, drawing closer to you, because you have promised to be with us, to never abandon us, to never forsake us, to always be there for us. At times it is hard for us to believe, because we look out at life, we live life, and we wonder sometimes why we struggle so much. Help us to understand that that is just a part of life, and it will be this way until we get to heaven. In a sense, we're in a testing ground, but we want to know that you are with us, that you love us, that you care for us, that you hear our prayers, and that you answer them according to your knowledge and your will, your love, your kindness. So we lift all these prayers to you, believing that you hear us and believing that you will answer them. We read stories in the Bible and see many of the struggles that what we might refer to at times as heroes of the Bible. They went through many difficult times, hardships, and even Jesus went through his, even all the way to the cross, being crucified. Help us to know that when we go through our times when we might feel abandoned or desolate, that you've not walked away. Maybe at times we have pulled away because we've stopped reading our Bibles or we've stopped praying. Maybe it's just the circumstances of life that have come about and we have to go through that period of time to come out on the other end. Help us to take that time to get to know you better, to grab a hold of you in a deeper way, to be more spiritual, to help others and ask for help from others. We lift all these prayer requests for you that are mentioned today, those in our valley, many unspoken today, thanking you that you hear us and that you love us. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, screen song, Forever. Thank you. Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. But we thank you that that cross stands empty because he was able, when he was taken down and buried, able to rise from the dead on the third day. And then he ascended into heaven. We were seen by over 500 witnesses, showing his power over death and the grave. And then sent his Holy Spirit back to empower the church. We thank you for that, for your love, for caring so much for us to send your help. And we thank you for everything that you have done for part of the church here at Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church, for the grace that you have given us, for the love, for the forgiveness, for the talents that you've bestowed upon us. May we use them not for any of our own selfish needs, but for your glory. May we go forth with a sense of purpose and power. Thank you for that, Lord. Bless these people. Touch their lives in a special way. Let them feel your presence. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, and our friend, we do pray. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. How are you today? Today's scripture is about Jesus' first miracle. Because his mother was so excited about him, she sort of encouraged him and trapped him into forming a miracle a little bit before his time. But even so, Jesus complied, thinking of us first rather than himself. In John 2, 1 through 11, look for your own personal message. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus said. "My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do what he tells you." Nearby stood six stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them with to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the wine that he tasted the water that had turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he was revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Bless the reading of a scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Reverend Julie Hirth Harley tells about a couple in Manhattan who got hitched after meeting in a rather unusual way. They were in a car accident. They say love is blind, but according to a report in the New York Times, Jenna Greenwald really did have her eyes closed when she met Christopher Matthews, or Masters. The reason she had her eyes closed was that a pickup truck had just crashed into the back of her BMW. She then sideswiped Chris Dodge, ricocheted into the median, and headed towards oncoming traffic. When she opened her eyes, Joanna's car was total, and she expected to see a great white light. She thought she'd be dead heading towards that light. Instead, she crawled out of the wreckage and saw the man of her dreams. While the two talked at the accident scene, Joanna barely thought about the damage to her car, the shards of glass in her clothes and hair, or the fact that she had almost died. When her mother arrived in a state of panic, Joanna said, "I'm fine, Mom. Just get away from me. Get away from me now." Her eyes were fixed on Chris. Chris and Joanna exchanged business cards for insurance reasons, And the next day, Chris called to ask Joanna out on a date. At their wedding reception, the couple did not place flowers or chocolates or any gifts like that at the place setting. Instead, they posted copies of the accident report. If I were to ask you, how did you meet your mate, your spouse? I would get some interesting stories, I'm sure. I would also get some interesting stories if I asked you about your wedding. Did it go smooth? Did everything go exactly as planned? Was the weather perfect? Did it rain? Did it storm? Did everybody get there on time? In his book, Hustling God, Dr. Craig Barnes tells about a wedding that started as a real disaster. First, the weather was atrocious. Some of the main streets had to be closed due to flooding, which meant that some of the out-of-town guests never even made it to the ceremony to begin with. Also, for some strange reason, about half the candles on the candelabra would not light. The flowers didn't arrive on time, so the church's wedding hostess in a big fancy church, didn't have any, so she took the flowers from the previous week that were still in there with brown tinted edges, you know, they're beginning to die, and she set those around trying to use those for the wedding flowers, which made no one happy. Well, the real flowers showed up 15 minutes into the wedding. Well, the lady who was head of the flowers, right in 15 minutes into the service, she walks down to the front of the church, takes the old flowers out, and starts setting all the flowers up while the ceremony is going on. And if you don't think those kind of things happen, I have been involved in those. There are usually tears at weddings, but this particular wedding, they were not tears of happiness. Wisely, Reverend Barnes made a few adjustments to his wedding homily, a short sermon. He talked about how fitting it was to have an imperfect wedding for what was always going to be an imperfect marriage, just like every marriage is imperfect. Even as he taught, he could still see anger and hurt in the eyes of the bride and groom. They had worked so hard to have everything just right and perfect for the wedding. Isn't that everyone's dream? Nevertheless, the moment they turned and faced each other to say their vows, everything changed. Barnes says that the groom's eyes warded up with tears of joy for the first time on that day of mishaps after mishap, and he really saw his bride again for the first time, and all that other stuff didn't matter anymore. All the frustration melted away as he finally beheld the joy of his life. Reverend Barnes said he began to cry during the service. There's something about a wedding, isn't there? Whether it's perfect or imperfect, there's something about a wedding that touches each and every one of us. Throughout the Bible, the relationship which God has with his people is compared to the love of a bridegroom for his bride. It is the predominant theme of the book of Hosea, one of the prophets. In Hosea 2:19 we read, "I will betroth you to me forever." Hosea's wife was unfaithful to him, just as Israel had been unfaithful to God, but still Hosea was committed to her, just as God was committed and faithful to the people of Israel. And that set the tone for his book. And the theme of the bride and the vine wedding is carried over to the New Testament, and it is not surprising that Christ's first miracle, turning the water into the wine, was at a wedding. After all, he referred to himself on one occasion as the bridegroom in Matthew. And this same imagery is present in many of the parables that Jesus taught. We are his beloved. And one day, each of us that are Christian will join him in a great wedding, feast, and banquet at the end of time. And Paul uses this imagery in advising couples about their own marriages in Ephesians 5. The last words of that passage go like this: "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Then Paul adds these words, "This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about the church, and I am talking about Christ." The imagery of the divine wedding continues all the way to the book of Revelation. And we read in verse 19:7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and honor him, for the time has come for the wedding banquet of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself." Who is the Lamb? Christ. Who is the bride? The church. And this same theme continues right up until the end. "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." Then in the very last chapter of our Bible, we read, "The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come." And so the last chapter of Scripture, describing the end of time, we have this magnificent picture of Christ with his bride saying to all, "Come. Come, come to the wedding feast. Come all who would and receive what has been prepared for you from the beginning of the world." As someone had said, human history began with the marriage ceremony in the Garden of Eden, and human history will end with the marriage ceremony between the bride and groom, between Christ and his church. Isaiah the prophet uses this same imagery, our Old Testament parallel scripture for this morning, from John 2. Israel is in a bad way time and time again. Israel has been defeated by her enemies. They were recovering from exile in Babylonia. The land is deserted and desolate. And Jerusalem has been torn down and the temple has been destroyed. There's a phrase that is often used about the prophets, that they afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. Well, Isaiah is in his comforting mode in this passage, and here's the word he gives Israel in God's behalf. "You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her. And your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall God rejoice over you." I think that's a very beautiful passage of Scripture when you really think about it. Israel has gone through a difficult time. Things were so bad that Jerusalem was called deserted or abandoned. But God had not forgotten them. They had forgotten him. There's a difference. No longer would they be called abandoned and desolate. God would give them new names. My delight is in her, and married. The word married is important because there was a negative cultural connotation to a woman who was not married in those ancient times. An unmarried woman was often an outcast, and widows lived a very uncertain existence. Since women could not own property, if a woman had no family, it was almost impossible for her to provide for herself above the most meager of existences. So once Israel was abandoned and desolate, but now she had two new names, my delight and married. It's a very beautiful way of expressing God's love and God's grace. So why are Israel's problems of any concern to us today, to the new church? Well, some of us, I think, have gone through difficult times when our names, our personal names and our lives, where we feel that we could have been called abandoned and desolate. We've gone through our own hard personal times as individuals and as families. Maybe we, like Israel, have gotten ourselves in a bad way through, at times, some moral failure or some bad decision that we have made. Or maybe it was through no fault of our own, because life can just be hard at times. Life happens. Sometimes life is so wonderful and so beautiful. And then sometimes life turns around and it gets ugly. There was an interesting article in Reader's Digest about Stefan and Erica Savastorm of Stockholm, Sweden. Erica and Stephen packed their suitcases for a four-month honeymoon. Can you imagine that? They must have some money. In December of 2010. That's a very exciting four-month honeymoon, except their honeymoon encountered six natural disasters. It's not what you think about when you go on the honeymoon. It's supposed to be that perfect time. It's their first trip ever together also. In Munich, Germany, they were caught in one of Europe's worst blizzards ever. Then they flew to Australia where they weathered a cyclone and were evacuated and spent 24 hours on a cement floor. Later still in Australia, they were stuck in a flood and nearly escaped a series of brush fires. In Christchurch, New Zealand, they arrived shortly after a 6.3 magnitude earthquake hit. Then they flew to Tokyo where they survived that horrific earthquake that we all know about from a couple of years ago. Somehow they returned to Stockholm with their lives still intact and their marriage still intact. Most of us will never run into that kind of bad luck in that kind of time period, or maybe we will, because life can throw those kind of things at us at times. Desolate, abandoned, maybe you've gone through a difficult time where your name could have easily been abandoned or desolate. Not trusted in those experiences, you found what Isaiah found, that God was with you. That he had not abandoned you. That is what has sustained believers through the centuries in good times and bad. That we are God's beloved. God is married to us. God will never forsake us, no matter what we do or no matter what our circumstances may be. I know it feels like we're abandoned sometimes, but you're not. I like the way Reverend Daniel Haven has put it. He says, have you ever been to downtown where it has seen its better days? Where there was once people and activity and now there's nothing but broken glass and buildings starting to crumble. Banks and stores have moved to the suburbs, leaving behind grand brick buildings that have become canvases to neighborhood punks and graffiti is everywhere. And then they come in to try to revitalize it. Lower taxes. And all of a sudden, empty warehouses turn into expensive loft apartments. The average person can't even hardly afford to move in there anymore. Cracked sidewalks repairs and flowers are planted and parks open up. Restaurants and galleries open and buildings are scoured and all the graffiti is gone. What was desolate is now a delight again to the inhabitants and to the believers. Again. This is the kind of transformation that Isaiah is promising to Israel. It is the same promise God makes to each of us. If you're going through a difficult time, God wants you to know, hang in there. God has not forgotten you. God loves you. God cares for you. You are his child. A farmer once had an unusually fine crop of grain, and just a few days before he was ready to harvest, there came a terrible hailstorm and windstorm. The entire crop was demolished. And after the storm was over, the farmer and the small son went out into the porch, and the little boy looked at what was formerly a great wheat crop, and tears began to roll down his face. And he looked up at his father. And his father just started to sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Years after, the little boy grown to manhood said, you know, that was the greatest sermon I ever heard. The farmer knew that whatever the circumstances, God was not going to forsake him. He was going to go through a hard time. But his name would not be abandoned or desolate, regardless of how grim things might appear at the moment. And friends, this is the only way any of us can cope. Life happens and we hold on to God and realize that God loves us. Sometimes great and wonderful things happen and we thank God and we rejoice about all those things. And then there are those times when we do feel abandoned and desolate. But God comes to us and whispers our names and says, I love you. I've not abandoned you. I am with you. I am married to you. You are not alone. And no matter what happens, the scriptures tell us to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. May God bless you, and God loves you. A hymn of response, This Is the Day. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope you go truly believing that this is the day that the Lord hath made, and you can go rejoicing regardless of the circumstances that you might find yourself in this very day. Because God loves you, God cares for you, and God has not abandoned you. Go from here telling others that they are loved, that God loves them, God loves you. Share that joy. Share that positive energy and that spirit. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.